before that. No matter which engine noises get you revved up, the Motorsports Minute has you covered with all of them.
Tune in to the only motorsports-themed talk show on Comm Radio, Wednesdays from 2:30 to 3:30, as Ethan Ellis, Logan Grunveldmeyer, and Casey Kreider take you on a trip through the world of racing, only on Comm Radio.
The NBA is fining Sixers star James Harden $100,000.
Guys, we really have to deal with this again.
He's literally Ben Simmons 2.0.
No, not again!
Breaking news into First Take this morning. The Philadelphia 76ers have fired their head coach, Doc Rivers.
Let's go!
Oh my gosh!
Come on, give me a high five, baby! High five all around!
Come ride the Philly emotional roller coaster with us every Monday at 7:05 to 8:05 with Jude Wozniak, Mac Young, Nick Volpe, Matt McLaughlin, and Jake Hernick.
If we're comparing the general manager and head coaching situation right now with the New York Jets and New York Giants, for me, it's no debate. It's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. And let me tell you, I know what you're going to say. Oh, first year. But let me just say this. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane took over a terrible cap situation. They basically got their team in the playoffs without Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney. Daniel Jones looks like, I think, comeback player of the year and has a bright future. For me right now, it's Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I am going to say first year. Because it is only the first year, and you gotta wait and see what happens. But which team has the better superstars? Which team has the two Rookie of the Year candidates? And which team has the overall better roster? I know they couldn't stay healthy, and I know they need a quarterback, but I would take my guys, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, over Shane and Daboll, even though I love Daboll's facial hair, and he's an awesome guy on the sidelines.
Your team didn't show up.
I know
your
they
team
didn't
show
up,
up,
but I still
your
think
team
they're
didn't
better.
Show up. Who's playing in the playoffs? But anyway,
you're
this is the
sad.
Ben
show,
and it starts right
now. Oh yeah, it's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. 10:15 on a Monday morning. Welcome to the Ben and Ben show. I wish I can say that I'm a little happier, but I am not, to be honest with you. But I have to start off the show by looking at Joe Namath's Twitter account. And there's three tweets in particular that I want to read. The first one goes as is, in all caps, by Joe Namath. Wrong direction, Zach. Step up into that pocket. Next one. Our pass patterns, receiver routes seem to be predictable. Last one. If the team doesn't start playing better, you've got to start looking at the coaches and general manager. I'm your host today, Ben Wasserman, joined as always by Benny Taylor. And for what seems to be the 30th time in a row, but actually the 15th time in a row, I sit here on a Monday morning after the Jets lose to the Patriots. Benny, how are you?
Well, who predicted this last week?
Both of us.
Who was the one that... Well, you did, but who was the one that was called crazy for saying that the team was going to quit on Zach Wilson? This guy right here. I predicted this. I didn't want to be right. I hope all the Jet fans are doing well. The Giants, you know, they played hard for 3.5 quarters and then got crushed. The final score, in my opinion, doesn't show what it was, but it's all about the Jets at this point and their failure. And I hope all the Jet fans understand I'm not doing this to be a trolling fan, but Joe Douglas stinks. Robert Saleh stinks. Robert Saleh's teams, I tweeted this yesterday. I tweeted three things, and I'm going to let Ben Wasserman go because I know he has a lot he has to say. I know he does, and he has every right to be this upset. But I tweeted three things. The Jets have my full attention, which was not good for them because I watched it without my fandom on. I just had to watch him be downright down the middle. Jet defense is overrated. Jet offense is never ready to go. They don't trust Zach Wilson. It's a disgrace. Joe Douglas should get fired at the end of the season. Robert Saleh should turn his key card today. Even Evan Roberts tweeted it. He should turn his key card today. His teams never show up. He never has a good pulse on the locker room. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we wasting time? Unless they get a new quarterback. RIP New York Jets, and we're heading into week 4. Go ahead, Ben.
All right. I got a few things to say. The first one, I mean, I have like 3 points to go off of what you just said, but I want to say this first.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
No. Well, The only part that I disagree is that Joe Douglas should get fired. I think that's too extreme, but there's no... Like, there is a reason for criticism. The offensive line is Swiss cheese, and Zach Wilson is the worst quarterback in the NFL. Should get fired, I'm not sure. I mean, he can't control that Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, but he can't control that the offensive line can't stop a middle schooler.
But the reason why he should get fired is because he built one of the worst lines you ever could build.
It's bad.
Mekhi Becton stinks. He stinks. And he is so fragile to break. He can't handle the New York media. And he had a good game yesterday. The Jet offensive line, minus the safety, with Zach Wilson had
no
time.
He played left tackle, and he's better at left tackle.
By the way, who did the Jets had to pick before the Giants? And it was between Andrew Thomas and who? And who did the Jets pick? Mekhi Becton. Who did the Giants pick? Who did Dave Gettleman even say? And he said, by the way, Dave Gettleman said, I want Andrew Thomas. He said this before the draft even happened. This is the guy I want. And the Jet fans and the media was laughing. How could you say?
Because we got a mountain of a man, but yeah. That mountain of a man doesn't really do much.
Exactly. So you have 5 years to build your line, and it's gotten worse. It has gotten worse.
Well, you know where the major issue is on the offensive line? It's Dwayne Brown. And they They thought Dwayne Brown was healthy. He was never healthy. So then he played the first two games, and now he's on the IR, so they have to shift up the whole offensive line. Benny, every single year, there is always that graphic that comes up during games, and it says offensive line in week one, offensive line now. Whether that's week five, week 18, it doesn't matter. It's never the same. You'd be lucky if there's even two of the same faces on the graphic. It's that bad. Listen, Elijah Vera Tucker last year went down. He's healthy now. But I think the offensive line is, and I said this on my podcast this morning, it's the second biggest issue on the team. Because the first one is Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson, for now the third time in a row versus the Patriots, he might have played them more, but I only remember the games last year, literally can't do anything. He steps into the pocket and gets sacked. He rolls out of the pocket and gets sacked. He throws a check down on fourth down. Ben, when you teach pitchers how to throw a baseball, do you tell them to throw it into the stands or you tell them to throw it into the catcher's mitt? Throwing a check down on fourth down is the equivalent of an MLB pitcher throwing the ball into the stands.
No, I agree with you, and that's another reason why Joe Douglas should get fired. Look, Joe Douglas is a terrible general manager. I'm tired of the, oh, he's so good. Look what he's done. Look at his two picks this year, or last year.
Oh, I got an issue with this year.
We can get to that too. Sauce Gardner, getting cooked.
Oh, Sauce Gardner makes me furious. It's not only that he gets cooked, Ben, because when I watch him, and I hate saying this, but when I watch Sauce Gardner, I don't see 100% effort. I don't even see him. Okay, let's say he gives up a catch. He doesn't chase after the wide receiver. I'm watching yesterday's game. He doesn't even run full speed to make a tackle. He is really frustrating me.
No, I agree with you. And guess who? It's time, folks. Garrett Wilson,
he's a diva.
He's a prima donna, overrated, stinks. He goes on the sidelines. He stinks. He goes on the sidelines. He goes, come on, Zach, throw the ball better. You could read lips. It's not PG. They throw him a perfect screen pass. A perfect screen pass. And what does he do? What does he do? The great wide receiver? The great rookie of the year? The great I want the football.
Aaron Rodgers is new Devontae Adams toy.
The great I want Mike White. I want Tim Boyle. I want this. I want that. I want this.
The Mike
give me that.
Out of
give me Mike White.
Right now.
What does he do? He drops the football. He does it three times. He stinks. He stinks. And to add the icing on the cake, they have the chance to win. Zach Wilson's playing good in the fourth quarter.
He took a safety.
Well, he had no time. He had no time. That line, he had imploded. Number six on the Patriots, just a safety guy who's playing safety on the defense, just ran in. You go look at the tape.
Oh,
he
man.
He throws the ball right down the field.
What a pass.
And his best pass of his career, probably. It's right there.
I think that ball traveled 65 yards.
It did. Even Tony Romo was like, oh, my gosh. Did you hear Tony Romo?
Yeah.
And said, oh, my God, they're going to do it. They have a chance, as my voice cracked.
And then Randall Cobb couldn't reach out an extra
Garrett
inch.
Wilson looks like he doesn't even try to get the ball. He just moves out of his way. Randall Cobb dropped the ball. It was right in his hands. They would have won the game. We would have had a totally different outlook. They battled. They fought. This team stinks. Robert Saleh stinks. It's all out there, folks. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it since last year. Overrated team. The Giants may implode. And I know Jet fans on Twitter want that to happen.
No, I don't really care about the Giants. I want them to win.
I want the Jets to win, too. And that's why this is bothering me so much.
Whoa. Let's let the Jets fan take over here. And I said this on my show because I did it this morning, and I usually don't do my show on Monday, but I had to get some thoughts out of the way before the Ben and Ben show. It's gotten to a point. I'm 21 years old. There's many Jets fans who are older. Joe Beningo, for example.
Love you, Joe.
Where it's like, we don't even, at least just me, I'll speak for myself. I don't even, like, get mad anymore. It's just upsetting. Like, there's not even, like, a reason for me to go crazy. Last year, I went crazy after they lost to the Patriots both times. This year, it's more like, here we go again, same old Jets. Like, there's not even a reason for my blood levels to go up because it's like, I knew what was going to happen. I knew that the Patriots are going to win. I knew the locker room was going to implode. And back to Garrett Wilson, I don't think he sucks. I think he's a top 10 receiver in the league. I think he's an amazing player. But it does bother me that every single game, the cameras for whatever network it is, CBS, Fox, don't matter, every single game, he has to be yelling at Zach Wilson. When, if you watch the tape, and I don't watch tape, I watch the game when it's live, and then I try not to think about it ever again. Garrett Wilson, he doesn't make separation every single play. He got locked up yesterday by that Patriots cornerback. I should know his name, but he's a rookie. He got absolutely clamped up. So if you're Garrett Wilson, you can't be yelling at the offensive coordinator. You can't be yelling at Zach Wilson when, one, you drop the ball three times, and two, you're not really getting open. Thoughts on that?
It's everything I just said. The guy is overrated. I never said he stinks. Maybe I did in my rant. Not even a rant. I'll just say just how I feel. But the guy doesn't stink, but he's just overrated. This team is overrated. It is like the 2012 New York Jets. That's literally what it is.
Oh, it's like the 2022 New York Jets.
No, because the 2022 New York Jets were at least likable.
Because they won in the beginning.
This team is unlikable.
Because they started their season 6-2.
This team is unlikable. This team has nothing going for it. It has nothing. You even have the third string running back throwing a temper tantrum on the sidelines yesterday. Is this? Are we really going to still have this debate about who's better, Brian Daboll or Robert Saleh? Are we really going to still do this?
No.
These guys stink.
And listen, I like Robert Saleh. I don't know why I still like him. I think when
he's
watch
nice
him
guy,
run
way.
Up and down Jet Life Stadium in the pouring rain.
It's not Jet Life Stadium. It's Giant Stadium. It will always be Giant Stadium.
But back to my point, I do like Robert Saleh. But man, oh man, you tweeted it. I didn't tweet it because I try to stay off my phone during the game because I always watch the game on a little bit of a delay because I watch it on a certain website. That's a story for a different day, though. Anyway, so I try to stay off Twitter. But they're just never prepared for a big-time game. There is never a big-time game where the Jets score first. Exactly. It's never. They didn't score first when they beat the Bills. They didn't score first yesterday. They barely ever scored first last year. And in the first half, you're telling me you only scored 3 points. And those 3 points were off a 52-yard field goal with less than 4 minutes left in the half. You had a whole week to prepare, and you can barely get a first down on the Patriots' defense. At least this week, they gave Breece Hall some more touches, but they had no running game. And I want to talk about the defense a little bit.
I want you to talk about – you had something you wanted to say about the offensive play caller.
Oh,
that I thought
yes.
was interesting. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Nope, you're good.
I really
this
want
a really
you to
good
get
point.
This out.
Nathaniel Hackett called a bad game yesterday. It took Nathaniel Hackett 4 quarters to figure out how to move the ball. It took him 4 quarters to figure out you should run on first down and then throw it to the outside on second down. And that is how they scored their touchdown, that 79-yard drive. They did the same formula. Run the ball, throw it outside. Run the ball, throw it outside. Tony Romo said it. He was like, this is the formula. Just keep doing it. But the play calling in the first half and in the third quarter was atrocious. I mean, Zach Wilson's not good, but you have to be creative at least. Zach Wilson has legs. How about you do some like quarterback design runs or something.
Like
the play calling was horrendous. And I think a major, major reason, I don't want to discredit Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know him. I don't know what he said in an interview. But a major, major reason that he got the Jets job is because they knew if Hackett was the OC, that Rodgers would have a better chance of coming here. And I think with Rodgers being the quarterback and Nathaniel Hackett being the OC, Nathaniel Hackett's job not only gets a lot easier, but he probably does a lot less. But now that he has to call the plays and actually be the guy and be a leader, he's just not that good. And that's another issue. The Jets never have good coaching.
I agree with you. And just if, look, you're looking at your future head coach. He's calling your plays right now on offense. Robert Saleh, and by the way, I hope this season turns around. I hope Zach Wilson takes the job and runs with it. But this team, I think Willie Colon on SNY said it best yesterday, has no fight, has no guts. They haven't had it at all during the Joe Douglas era. They haven't had it since Rex Ryan and Tannenbaum. Biggest mistake the Jets ever made, firing those two, by the way. And story for another day.
I'm a big Tannenbaum fan and Rex Ryan.
But how much longer are we going to have to sit there and I have to – it's just – look, the Jets are all talk, no walk. Like the 2023 New York Mets, all talk, no walk.
No gas, all brakes.
Look, they're gonna get crushed by Kansas City. They're going to get crushed by the Eagles.
Do you think they beat Denver?
No.
I don't think so either.
Because I think Russell Wilson right now still has the locker room. It looks like Sean Payton was right.
Well, it's just lost by 50 points, but...
Well, what about the Jets? I mean, that's going to be the meeting of the minds. That is. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong at all. But I do want to talk about the defense.
Overrated defense.
And I feel like there's a lot of people like Benny Taylor who says it's overrated. And sure, I wish they got a turnover yesterday, right? They didn't even get a turnover. And I wish they didn't give up a long touchdown pass to a guy named Pharaoh Brown. Pharaoh Brown, a guy who hasn't scored a touchdown in 3 years. Of course, that guy scores on the Jets, which was a 60-yard-plus touchdown. But I do think they played a great game. They gave up 13 points. I think they played a great game.
I disagree with you 100%. They played an okay game, but if this team who called themselves the 85 Bears...
Yeah, I don't know why they said that.
Like, look, I'm going to use another example. It's a baseball example. The 86 Mets, Davey Johnson said, we're going to dominate. We're going to be good. They backed it up. The Tom Coughlin 2007 New York Giants said, we're going to go far, and we have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Michael Strahan... And Tom Coughlin said when Tiki Barber was talking trash, they backed it up. When you're not able to back it up and you say you're the 85 Bears, oh my gosh, you're already, this is why you're overrated. You put this pressure on yourself. You did by making that comment.
Don't like that comment at all.
No, go ahead.
But I think what's even worse comment is Robert Saleh after the game saying we need to get some more help around Zach. That's how you lose a team.
Yep. Look, folks, this is not a good team. And look, we could be having the same conversation about the Giants, not next week, but the week after. We could. But this is gonna get ugly.
Oh, I think it already is ugly. They're going to lose by two or more touchdowns to the Chiefs. Taylor Swift is going to be throwing a party in MetLife, and Jets fans are probably... Did you see that one Jets fan who lost his dentures?
That was hilarious.
That fan, I hope he comes back. And I don't want to say anything bad here, but if he loses his dentures again and Taylor Swift is dancing in a box, I hope he throws his dentures against the glass, because that would be the funniest video of all time, and it would just exemplify Jets fans' frustration for the last 50 years.
Look, this team, I don't know what else to say. They're not good. They stink.
Well, they need a quarterback, and here's what I want to ask you. Does Carson Wentz make the Jets better?
No, it makes it worse. Look, this is what I want to say. I remember now. The whole team doesn't want Zach Wilson to be there. Nathaniel Hackett doesn't want him to be here. Look, if you put the truth serum on Robert Saleh, he'll probably say it. What are we doing then? This is another thing about Joe Douglas. Admit when you're wrong. You should have traded Zach Wilson while he still had value.
They could have got Trey Lance.
Well, that's not his fault. I can't blame him for that. I wouldn't have wanted to get Trey Lance. I think they're the same person, to be honest, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. I do.
Yeah.
But anyway, back what I was saying. You knew Zach Wilson. No one wanted him there. The locker room didn't want him there. The coaching staff didn't want him there. You put him as the backup quarterback? Oh, my gosh. Another reason Joe Douglas should get fired.
So, my man, Craig Carton, said there's only one quarterback available right now, quote-unquote available, that can save the Jets. And yes, his name is Kirk Cousins, and I would be thrilled if Kirk Cousins became a Jet, but I don't think that's going to happen unless the Vikings really go downhill, because I don't think the Vikings want to go into a quote-unquote rebuild when they have Justin Jefferson, a top five player in the NFL.
No, I agree. They stink, the Vikings, but it's not going to happen. Look, another thing that bothers me is, can you at least pretend like there's a quarterback competition in that building? Why does Robert Saleh, the first thing he's saying in his press conference, be, we're going to have Zach Wilson start next week?
Yeah, I didn't like that. Does Tim Boyle not have a right arm? I thought he was going to come in the fourth quarter.
He should have. Look, we'll get – I don't know really what else you want me to say. I mean, the team stinks.
You're spot on. The team stinks.
They don't have any heart either. They're like the 2023 New York Mets. I love the Mets, but after the Athletic article came out, there's one thing that really stuck out to me, and we'll get to it later, but I will just say this. Unless your name is Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, or Brandon Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, the rest of the team had no heart and didn't want to be there. Now, flip it. For the New York Jets, who do you want to list that's trying out there? Could you name
Quentin Williams?
Quentin Williams. Who else?
Breece Hall. Who's trying? Quincy Williams. DJ Reed. A lot of guys on the defense. If we're focusing just on the offense, Alan Lazard, I think he had a good game.
All right. So that's it then.
Dalvin Cook, I have an issue with him.
Go ahead. This is because we...
Dalvin Cook, not a good signing. Now, I'm not going to blame Joe Douglas because myself as a fan wanted him. But also, as I always say, just because I'm a fan and want something doesn't mean that the GM should always listen to me. Dalvin Cook, bad signing. Waste of money. He's been slow. He doesn't break any tackles. Doesn't do anything. So to recap everything, bad coaching, bad quarterback, and yet again, 15th straight loss to the Patriots. I wonder, when Bill Belichick wakes up on Sunday mornings when he plays the Jets, if he even, like contemplates that losing is an option. 15 straight wins. Does he even, realize that, he can lose that game? It's, impossible for them to lose. Do you think they're going to beat the Patriots last week of the season in New England? Absolutely not. It's going to be 16 straight losses.
No. Look, I think this is the perfect way to cap it, in my opinion. Oh, I actually have one thing to say. I have a question for you. What will it take for you to get on the Joe Douglas fire train? How close are you?
I mean, I'm not that close, but I'm mad about the development. I'm not sure if that's on him, but he made the draft pick. It's his guy. His job is with him.
All the draft picks.
What would it take for me to say Joe Douglas should be fired if they win only 4 games this year?
All right, so let's go through their schedule real quick. So next week they play the Chiefs. They
loss. Win?
Okay, Philadelphia.
Well, you skipped one. They play Denver, which I think is a loss.
Okay.
So Philadelphia loss.
Loss.
Giants, no idea. It's a coin flip.
If the Giants start playing well, it's momentum at that point, right?
Yep. Chargers, loss.
Loss.
Raiders, they could win.
They could win. Okay, so that's one.
Bills loss. Dolphins. Dolphins are going to score 800 points.
Loss.
Falcons, they could win.
Okay.
Texans they could win.
Dolphins, loss.
Yeah, they might split, but the Dolphins look really good now. I don't know. I think Dolphins are going to start regressing negatively.
Okay.
But
so whatever you want.
Let's just say they split with the Dolphins.
Okay, so we'll say that's a loss, and the home one's a win.
Commanders, I don't know. Sam Howell, they got blown out yesterday by the Bills, but Sam Howell looks decent.
Okay, the Browns.
Browns is a loss. Patriots is a loss. So what is that, 5 or 6 wins in total?
Yeah, so let's just say 5 to 6 wins. You're keeping Joe Douglas next year?
They're going to have – and they don't have their first-round pick, right, because Rodgers?
Yep.
That is a tough spot to be in.
What are you doing with Rob Saleh at that point?
5 wins?
Another failure? The locker room probably quit?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it, but I think we know the answer.
Exactly.
Not good. Not good at all.
Yep.
All right, folks. Well, the Jets, same old, same old. That's a great way to recap it. When we get back, Benny, tell the fans what we're talking about.
Are we going to go Giants or the Mets article?
I think you're itching to talk about the Mets.
I am. I am, folks. So for the first time all season, we will get into a big, breakdown of the Athletic article. The worst team money could buy, part two, has to do with my New York Mets. Stay tuned to the Ben and Ben Show on Calm Radio.
You don't want to be that guy.
What guy?
You know, the person who didn't hear the biggest new release until way too late.
Well, I'm never that guy.
Me either, all because of Calm Radio's 5 and 30.
Whether it's a hit from a rookie, surprise release from a superstar, or the newest songs dominating the charts, 5 and 30 has got you covered.
Tune into Calm Radio at 6:15 every Monday to hear the weekend's biggest bangers and more.
Five songs in 30 minutes? Don't be that guy.
We are stronger, Lions pride, stand together, blue and white. Lions pride, show the world your Penn State side. Lions pride, you're living, you're loving Lions pride.
Lions pride, locally owned and operated in downtown State College since 1976, offers everything Penn State for every Penn Stater. At Lions pride, we are Penn State.
Lions pride, you're living, you're loving Lions pride.
You are listening to the Ben and Ben Show. Now let's talk about our disgusting New York baseball teams.
Back here on the airwaves of Calm Radio, Benny and myself got our New York Jets rants out of the way. Now it's time to talk about another team that gives frustration to one of us. Benny, what happened in The Athletic today? You sent me an article. You said we have to talk about this. You previewed it last segment saying that the team quit. Tell somebody who doesn't have The Athletic, a.k.a. myself, what happened.
So first off, I want to thank Evan Roberts this morning. I was listening to the great Rico Bronya podcast, and he turned me on to this article. It's called How the New York Mets with the Highest Payroll Ever Crashed and Burned. And I'm not an Athletic supporter. I just don't have the money for it, but I had to read this article. So back in May, I don't know if you remember, it was just when it was around our last show. The Mets went out and they played the Detroit Tigers, and they got swept.
I do remember that.
And that's when I raised the alarm bells in my brain. I think I was talking to Jay Cartley. We were on our way to practice, and I said, this team might crash and burn. And he says, well, what do you mean? They'll figure it out eventually. I was like, no, I just don't see it. And this article comes out, and it chronicles everything. They interview players like Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo. I think everyone's seen the quote that from Tommy Pham that said this was the laziest team he's ever been on. I don't know if you saw that.
Who interviewed the players?
I think it was Tim Britton of The Athletic. I could be wrong.
It was a
collaboration story.
The laziest team that he's ever been on.
By the way,
so bad on Buck Showalter's shoulders.
I don't truly believe that. I think that Tommy Pham is...
He wanted a trade?
Exactly.
You
know. But I will think it's... I do think it's interesting to think about this. The fact the New York Mets were waiting on Edwin Diaz, you had guys like Adam Ottavino say, and I quote to Brooks Raley and David Robertson, we just have to play this out. Eventually, Edwin Diaz will come back, and those trumpets will play. And the Mets brass was hoping in September that those trumpets would play. That's big on Billy Epler, Steve Cohen, and Buck Showalter. Not even Showalter. I'm going to take him out of it. Billy Epler, Steve Cohen should be ashamed of themselves. They built a terrible team. And this is mostly goes on Billy Epler. Think about this. You had the most money of any team ever. And you signed guys like, Do I want to name it?
Verlander?
Fine. I was okay with that. But that bullpen, so many B and C guys that were terrible. They chose option guys over veterans.
Yep.
And as soon as Edwin Diaz went down, you knew the season was over. And you want to know who else went down? Jose Quintana. Those guys going down just screwed the whole season. And one thing that stood out to me was Tommy Pham said, I knew this was in trouble. Yeah, Tommy Pham, you knew this was in trouble. Great. You had two hot months. Thank you for the prospect, by the way. But
those hot months were pretty fun to watch.
He carried the team.
I mean, that guy is jacked, and he can hit bombs.
Tommy Pham?
Yeah, he's jacked.
Okay. So he said, I want to have more batting practice, and the Mets basically said no. And him and Francisco Lindor, they had this conversation about how the Mets were more focused on playing ping pong than playing baseball. Now, I've been on the fence about keeping Buck Showalter.
Is that a quote?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. From someone who used to play MLB The Show all the time, and my guy used to be the best player on his team, and we used to always see like the ping pong table in the clubhouse. I love that quote, but shouldn't be a real quote.
So, this is what stood out to me. Just three more things, and then we can move on, because I do think this is a worthy topic to at least bring up. The only players that tried in Tommy Pham's eyes were Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo, and Pete Alonso. And Pete Alonso's in the Met clubhouse is basically having a mental breakdown in Buck Showalter's office saying, I know, I'm quoting him here, I know we can play better. I know I can play better. I'm so sorry about the month I'm having. And the Mets want to trade this guy away?
Disgusting.
What are we doing? And even Francisco Lindor was like, yeah, that happened. Brandon Nimmo was like, yeah, Pete Alonso went to the clubhouse, went to Buck Showalter's office and said this. And this is the guy the Mets are ripping day after day after day. And Billy Epler's releasing statements about how this is not true and blah, 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 blah. It's 50-50. What are we doing? And Jeff McNeil. Is Jeff McNeil this clubhouse cancer? Is this a true statement? Or is he not trying anymore? We know Starling Marte wasn't trying this year. I was in Philly this year, routine fly ball. Starling Marte just couldn't catch. You knew Starling Marte wasn't having a good year. The effort wasn't there. I've been on the fence about, and we'll get into this next week, because I guarantee you Buck Showalter, unfortunately, will get fired next week.
He has to.
I've been on the fence about firing Buck Showalter, because I do think Francisco Lindor and Pete and Nimmo love him. But after this article, as a fellow coach myself in higher athletics, this does not look good. It looks like he had no control of the clubhouse. And I hate the fact that they're saying that they thought the season was over after the Diaz injury. So my rant...
That was before the season even started.
They said the WBC screwed them.
Oh, my God.
So my rant is basically what the Mets thought. Remember my rant when I said the season could be derailed?
That was an all-timer by you.
Remember how I didn't know the Mets listened to Com Radio. I didn't know that Tommy Pham listened to Com Radio, Francisco Lindor... All the guys listen, and Brett Beatty too, like all these guys. I didn't know he listened to me. I didn't know I had that big of an impact.
We're famous.
But all seriousness for a second. This is not as bad as 1992, obviously. I wasn't alive. But it's close. I know that Evan wanted to play it down, and I love Evan. He's probably the guy I listen to the most after myself to get my takes, to see if I'm thinking in the right direction. Trust him. I love Joe too. But I got to agree with Joe Beningo here 100%. This team is dysfunctional, and it's right there with the worst team money can buy.
I couldn't agree more. It is the definition of dysfunctional. You made awful moves with your money, and then the team absolutely fell apart, and it fell apart fast. I mean, when did the team actually fall apart? You said May? That's 2 months into the season.
They had a great West Coast trip. They went 7-3, and I think I said on this radio station, this is what the Mets have to do. Maybe not go 7-3, but,
six and four, yeah.
But play 500. And they couldn't. They thought the playoff spot was guaranteed to them.
So did the Yankees.
And we can get to the Yankees if you'd like.
No, we're going to wait until
the season's over.
Yeah.
And by the way, we will get into a deeper dive when the Mets and Yankees season's over, because I'm hosting next week. So we will get into a deeper dive because the Giants don't play till Monday night and the Jets. Are we going to want to talk about it? It's going to be the same points as we said today, probably.
How many touchdowns can Mahomes throw would be the conversation, not who's going to win the game.
How about the third-string quarterback getting that quarterback sneak in to make it 45-0?
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. No, but...
Oh, man. Well, back to the Mets.
But
Buck Showalter's got to go. And that Alonso story really, really bothers me because I've said this in the past.
Story. Check the article out, by the way, if you don't believe me.
On The Athletic. Everybody check it out. But I've said this in the past. It is rare that in 2023... You find guys, you draft guys that end up being stars, and not only be stars, but love the team. Like Pete Alonso, like Aaron Judge. You can't always pay for those guys, right? Those guys are rare. It's the diamonds in the rough. They love the team. They don't want to be anywhere else. And if you're telling me, and I believe you, and I believe the writers who said it, that Alonso had a mental breakdown in Buck Showalter's office, this is a professional athlete. This is a guy who makes millions of dollars. He cares that much about the team and his performance, and the Mets, in response, want to trade him, is a disgusting move, and it's another reason why Billy Eppler should not be the GM.
Well, here's the thing. I remember listening to press conferences with Buck Showalter and him saying, "Pete's in my office every night and having conversations."
Benny, we have fans. Benny, we have fans here.
Maybe we'll just rotate.
We have the new members coming in.
New members coming in during our live show.
New members, how are you doing? We're talking about the Mets.
We're talking about the Mets.
Our fans are live in the studio. That's awesome.
We won't bother you too much. You can get back to your baseball talk.
All right, thank you. That's McKenna Wall, everybody, the greatest new member coordinator to ever exist, right behind Adriana Gallucci.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Come on. We're only in 1 hour here, and we have to give up my time. Come on. Anyway, welcome to Com Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I love it. Anyway, the fact that Pete Alonso, because I do want to say this, and then we'll go to our break, because we have to get another one in. The fact that Pete Alonso, and the Mets acknowledged this, Buck did, that he was in the office every day saying that I want to do better, I need to do better, this team needs me, I'm sorry, I need to do better, blah, 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 blah. The guy broke his wrist, basically, was an intentional hit by pitch. I stand by that. Charlie Morton, the throw it again was the night before. Remember that when Pete was saying, throw it again, throw it again.
Happened last year, too.
Next day, right on the wrist. The fact that they want to trade him, it looks terrible. It's not like Jacob DeGrom where you had the things that he didn't want to be here. Pete wants to be here. Get it done, Billy. Get it done, David Stearns. Get it done, Steve. My dad just re-upped his season tickets.
Really?
He did. Get it done. As a season ticket holder, they can actually go talk to Steve Cohen at the events in the winter. If this doesn't get done and he gets traded, I want to work for the Mets. I love the Mets. My dream would be to work for the Mets. That makes them look terrible. Makes them look terrible.
Well, because if they don't have Pete Alonso, who is the leader? Francisco Lindor, a guy who's got angry at the fans 3 years ago. Jeff McNeil, who's not really a superstar. Brandon Nimmo, who's not a superstar. You need your best player to be your leader. That's what they had, and they want to get rid of it. It makes no sense. Benny, I couldn't agree with you more. And you said your dad re-upped his season tickets. I hope he sees a good product next year, because any Yankees fan, any Jets fan who re-ups their season tickets, I know the Jets season just started, but Yankees fan, I wish you the best of luck, because I don't see a bright, bright future. The team is on the older side, and there's a lot of issues on a lot of New York teams, especially the Mets.
Here's the thing. The only positive is, and this is what the article didn't say, and this is what bothers me about journalism sometimes. The Mets realized they had a problem, because I think Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer were divas. I do. And they ruined team chemistry.
Scherzer didn't care.
Yeah. I don't think Verlander did either. I think Verlander just came to the Mets because of the money, which is fine. Scherzer did the same thing. They just didn't perform. Maybe Verlander did. He'll always have that Subway Series start. That's really the only big start he ever made.
That's the one we went to.
Yes, both. But we only went to one. But both were. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the only positive is they traded all those guys away and got prospects. And the Mets, I can say, have a bright future.
The Yankees, I wish, got prospects, but instead they just have a lot of bluebirds in the Bronx right now. So the Mets record is 71-85 with a run differential of -20. The Yankees are not much better. They have 78 wins, 77 losses with a run differential of a -22. When we come back, the New York Giants fought, but then crippled over in the fourth quarter. Benny will give his thoughts on that. And then we have NFL game picks in the last 5 minutes. See you right after this.
Tim, can you tell me what it was like when the Jets were a winning franchise 12 years ago?
Oh, Michael, grab yourself a glass of milk, and where do I even begin?
It's okay, young one. We're in better times now. Tune in to All Gas No Break every Tuesday on Comm Radio, featuring Joey David, Tim Rogers, and Michael Landis.
Looking to add some more horsepower to your Wednesday afternoon? Had too much homework to watch the race this past weekend? Just want to learn more about motorsports after playing NASCAR Heat one time? Well, Motorsports Minute is the live show for you. Tune into Comm Radio every Wednesday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30 to hear Casey Kreider, Ethan Ellis, and myself, Logan Grunewald-Meyer, take you through the best of the burnt rubber from the week.
We are stronger. Lions pride, stand together, blue and white. Lions pride, show the world your Penn State side. Lions pride, you're living, you're loving Lions pride.
Lions pride, locally owned and operated in downtown State College since 1976, offers everything Penn State for every Penn Stater. At Lions pride, we are Penn State.
Lions pride, you're living, you're loving Lions pride.
Welcome back to the Ben and Ben Show. We are now going to talk about one of the best sports of all time, football.
I still don't understand why I said one of the greatest sports of all time, but regardless, it's time to talk some more football. We got the Jets talk out of the way. We got the Mets talk out of the way. And by the way, I thought that Mets discussion was really, really interesting. I know I didn't say much during it because
I didn't
read the article, and I'm not a Mets fan, but I thought Benny hit some really good points, and it's going to be an interesting storyline in the months to come throughout the winter. But anyway, now we got to talk about the Giants. Now, we knew the Giants were not going to beat the 49ers, and we knew that they were probably not even going to keep the game close.
They did,
but
though.
I'm getting there. I thought the first half was actually a very good half, and I thought the third quarter as well was a good quarter. But at the end of the day, it came down to two things. And one was the offense failed themselves on third down, and two, the Giants' defense couldn't get off the field on third down. When you can't get off the field on third down and you don't win the turnover battle, you rarely, rarely win football games. But overall, before I let Benny speak, I think, and this is the reason why Daboll is a better coach than Sala. This is the pure reason right here. Daboll's team came off a great come-from-behind victory against the Cardinals two Sundays ago. And by the way, the Cowboys just lost to the Cardinals, so maybe the Cardinals are a little... maybe the
How about them Cowboys?
Best team in the NFL, they said.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Wow. Dak Prescott, he's got to spend less time in that tattoo
turnover,
parlor,
baby.
And maybe some more time on the football field. But anyway.
Sorry.
And also, Micah Parsons, I think he only got like one or two sacks. That was just, that's a classic Cowboys letdown, and that's as bad as it gets.
Sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
You did not interrupt. You just brought great value to the show. But I was going to say, maybe the Cardinals are a little bit better than we originally thought. So anyway, the Giants are coming off a come-from-behind victory. They lost Saquon Barkley on a short week and have
and
to
Edward
travel
Thomas.
Across the country. There was no reason for the Giants to be motivated for this game because of everything that I just mentioned. But because of their great coaching and great leadership with Daniel Jones and those other captains, they actually competed and fought in the first half. They couldn't get off the field on third down, and that was the issue. But if their defense was a little bit better on third down, and if the offense was also just a tad bit better, they didn't have Saquon, so that's hard to say. But, you know, maybe this game would have been a lot closer. But overall, I thought if you're a Giants fan, you knew they were going to lose, but you should be at least happy on how they played for the first three quarters. Benny, your thoughts on that?
No, you're right. And we're forgetting about Andrew Thomas not being there, which gave Daniel Jones no time to throw.
Yep.
Look, everything you said's right, and I do want to talk about the whiteout game too. So, and I do think Saquon Barkley will be back, but we'll get more of that into the game previews. Seattle's a must-win Monday night.
I disagree.
I do. I would like to, if you could, because you have the laptop, if you could please pull up the Giants schedule and we could flip-flop, because we can flip-flop. I said, "Who you think you're going to win that game? You think you're going to win this game like we did with the Jets earlier?" But I think it's a must-win Monday night. You have 14 days to prepare, by the way.
Yeah, that is a long time to prepare. Almost. And you're at home.
Yep.
Monday Night Football. Well, okay, I understand why you say that. But as I say in my game preview videos on Twitter, at BenWasserman4, I don't like saying must-win game. If it's not to make the playoffs, or if your season will not end tomorrow if you lose. I like saying need to win instead. Do the Giants need to win the Seahawks game? I say no, because they play the Dolphins and the Bills afterwards. Let's say they lose both of them. Let's say they start their season 1-5. Not good, but then after that, Commanders, Jets, Raiders, Cowboys, Commanders. That's 4 out of 5 wins right there if they play the football that they're capable of playing. I think the Giants are better than the Commanders. They can beat the Jets and they can beat the Raiders. You can get right back into the mix if you can win the games that you probably should win.
Here's the reason why it's must win. Last year, if the Giants didn't tie the Commanders, guess who owns the tiebreaker? The Seattle Seahawks. Where at that point, they're probably not going to beat Miami. They could. The Miami's defense isn't very good. Buffalo is a coin flip, but it's on the road, so they're probably not winning that. At that point, you're thinking about, I got to trade Saquon Barkley. I got to do this. I got to do that. The Giants are maybe thinking next year. I think that Monday night's a must win. And we'll get to our game picks because we have to do it anyway for next week. I just don't see where the wins are going to come from at that point.
You know how Geno Smith plays on Monday Night Football, right?
No, I don't.
Really good. Last year, week 1, at Seattle, Geno Smith made his Seahawks debut. Russell Wilson made his Denver Broncos debut. And Geno Smith said, they called me or they hated on me, but I didn't call back, as he upset the Broncos.
But I feel like they could have kicked a field goal there, if I remember correctly, and they wasted all that time. Remember Peyton Manning was getting so upset? Call a timeout. Yeah. Call a timeout.
Yes, I do.
So look, I do want to talk about the wideout before our game picks, but must win. Must win. That's how I feel, and I'll say it next Monday, and we will get more into it next Monday.
We will, but very important game. I say need to win. Anyway, you know who else needed to win on Saturday? That is the Penn State Nittany Lions, because in college football, you simply cannot lose games if you want to make the college football playoffs. I thought the game was going to be close. I said on this very show, Iowa is better than people think. Iowa has a good defense. They can run the ball, and Iowa is no slouch. They have the offense. They have a quarterback. I was dead wrong. If you go back on that tape, you can meme me for years to come. Penn State's defense is absolutely incredible. It's the second best defense in college football. I don't care what anybody says. Right behind Georgia. The most dominant game that you could ever draw up. If Franklin had a whiteboard in this Comm Radio studio, and I said, Franklin, what do you want to happen in a game? You would say, I want my defense to give up 4 first downs, 70 total yards, and I want my offense to not turn the ball over. That is what happened.
And you also said that the streak of scoring 30 would be over.
Yes, I think a lot of people said that with me.
I did too, by the way.
And now 11 straight games, 30 or more points. But the biggest stat, the best stat, right? You could talk about how they had 30 more plays than Iowa. Never happened in the last 50 years. You could talk about how Iowa had 70 total yards of offense. But the biggest stat is that Penn State remains the only team in college football. Well, after this week, they are now the only team in college football on offense to not turn the ball over. And when you have a quarterback who started his first game 4 weeks ago and has played a Big Ten road game, and now the best team in the Big Ten West, who has a very solid defense and he hasn't turned the ball over, that is the stat that I love. Also, Penn State's defense, 9 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. Unheard of.
That fumble was the momentum changer.
On the first drive, right?
Was it the first drive?
Yeah.
I don't think it was it was when Iowa had good field positioning.
Yeah, that was on the first drive because they ran the ball. They had a nice run. I thought Iowa started the game well. Usually you see the clip, 2019 Michigan, false start. Iowa got to the line of scrimmage. They ran the ball well. They had some good pass plays, and then they were in field goal range. It was either a running play or a pass play, and I believe it was Jalen Reed who knocked the ball out And after that, it must have been so deflating for Iowa. But after that, the crowd was all the way into it, and the offense was cooking.
It was the best crowd. I said last year Ohio State was the best crowd I've been to personally. But after I went to Saturday's game just like you did, that was the best crowd I've been to at Beaver Stadium, in my opinion.
Number one on my list, I think I've been to more games than you. This is how my list goes. Number one on my list is the 2022 Whiteout versus Auburn.
Really? Because
I
was there too, and I didn't think it.
No, it was a closer game though.
I think the crowd was. I think people remembered what happened in Iowa with Sean Clifford a few
years
ago.
Yeah, it was personal. And PJ Mustipher. Ben, what I love about Franklin is he knows exactly how to have bulletin board material. And if you're a good head coach and you're a good motivator and a leader, you know how to light a fire underneath players, especially players who are from the ages 18 to 22 who sometimes need that extra fire. And I tweeted throughout the week, this game was personal. You had 2 years ago, Iowa fans and coaches saying that Penn State was faking injuries to kill time. PJ Mustipher tore his ACL, and you have coaches saying that they're faking injuries. So now Iowa, they came to our place. And Franklin had them motivated. And this, what I'm about to say, makes me so happy. And this comes from the journalistic experience and greatness of Audrey Snyder. She found out that Chop Robinson, after his strip sack, did some sort of celebration. I think it was, I forgot the exact celebration, but that was like the same celebration that PJ Mustipher used to do. And that celebration was to honor him because he tore his ACL at Iowa, and then they called him after the game to celebrate. This one was personal, and man, oh man, did they absolutely crush him.
Now, that's why I think that whiteout is better than last year's whiteout, in my opinion.
Well, 2 years ago. Last year was Minnesota.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The whiteout you brought up, yes.
I just liked Auburn because it was so different, and I thought the Auburn fans were so cool and the game was close. But I'm going to be honest. I thought Auburn had 112,000 people. I looked it up. It was 108. Saturday's was 110, 800. Second largest ever. That's craziness.
Yep.
The fans were fired up. And this is what makes Penn State so special. People talk about the whiteout. They see the entrance with the fireworks. But the reason it's like that is because you have the stadium filled up 2 hours before the game. 2 hours before the game, the student section was basically full. And then in a 31-0 blowout,
nobody left.
The stadium was still full in the final seconds. That is unheard of.
Yeah, I was there.
I was there too, but I'm going to be honest. My focus was on the Notre Dame game in the last minute.
And the rain, it held off for the most part too.
Yep.
I mean, it drizzled, but I don't know. You know, the biggest test for Penn State will be Ohio State, in my opinion. I think they could beat Michigan.
I disagree. I think they'd lose to Michigan, beat Ohio State. But I see why you say it's the biggest test because it's on the road.
That's why. It's either they're going to go 0-2 or 1-1, in my opinion. Pick it.
Well, the reason I say Ohio State...
A statement game... Hold on. A statement game is you go on the road and you beat Ohio State, a place where demons are, really. Michigan, too, by the way. But I just... Last year, they should have beaten Ohio State at home. I was at that game. They had the lead. Defense imploded a little bit, but then Sean Clifford.
Yeah, he turned the ball over three times.
Exactly. That's the reason why we lost that game. So, go beat them. You can. The talent, I felt there was a talent gap with Michigan last year.
Totally.
Ohio State, you can do it. You can beat them.
I have been saying since July, since June, since May, April, that Penn State will be Ohio State. Two reasons why. One, Ohio State simply does not look very good. Marvin Harrison might not play. I know we're talking about 3 weeks from now, but that guy has had injury issues forever now. They don't really look that good. Their offensive line gets blown up. And McCord had no time to throw against Notre Dame. But two, and this is the special one for me, my brother is getting married on October 21st, and the Wasserman family, that day is just going to get even better once Penn State beats Ohio State on the road. It's just destined to happen. Ohio State is weak this year, and Penn State's defense can really cause a lot of issues for Ohio State's offense. First year you could ever really say that. The reason I don't think they're going to beat Michigan is because Michigan's going to run the ball all over Penn State. And I thought Iowa was going to run the ball, but they were missing both their running backs.
I think we're in agreement. That we can preview those games later. But that's really all I got to say about Penn State. I don't know about you. If you've done anything, let's do our picks.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing, and nobody's really talking about this guy. I don't want to say nobody, but not the casual fans. The Tyler Warren acceleration, like the growth of Tyler Warren, has been awesome to watch. This guy last year was the third string tight end. It went Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren. This year, I'm not sure if he's technically first or second. I think he's second. But he has 6 touchdowns on the season. 6 touchdowns. He blocks like a train and just always gets open. He also, I believe, threw a touchdown pass last week. Or no, that was Trey Potts to Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren's not getting enough national attention, and he probably won't ever get enough national attention, but he is such a great asset to the Penn State offense. Overall, final thoughts. I said on my TikTok video, utter dominance, amazing night, whiteout, nothing beats it. If you haven't been to a whiteout,
you should go.
You have to spend the money and go. It's easy to say that, but you just have to do it.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you 100%. And check out Ben Wasserman on Twitter. I don't have TikTok, but you should. His Twitter.
I appreciate it.
They fire people up, I hear. I saw this morning in one of your group chats that you have a morning where you have quotes of the day. You should post that on Twitter.
I think I will. I think I'm going to start posting on Twitter. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to start posting it on Twitter. But I have a group chat with Today Sports. It's all the creators and the editors. And I get here at Willard every morning at 7:30, and I give my thoughts on whatever's on my mind, give some quotes.
A lot, by the way.
Do whatever. I always got stuff on my mind, you know.
I'm just mad. No, I enjoy it. I said to him, like, why doesn't he post this?
Yeah, I'm going to start posting tomorrow since people want me to. And also, Benny, I want to ask you this. I did my Penn State game preview, my Penn State game recap, my Jets game preview, and my Jets game recap all in the rain because I wanted to be one with the elements. And if people say you're just a fan, you're not part of the team, I do my videos in the rain just like they play in the rain.
I'm proud of you, but I don't watch every Twitter video you do. I'm not going to lie, just like you probably don't see everything I tweet. So I'm proud of you, Ben.
I'm just trying to be one with the team.
No, I'm happy for you. I think you're one of the most entertaining Twitter accounts I follow.
Wow, thank you very much. Not better than Joe Namath, though.
No, not better than Joe Namath. Not better than Evan Roberts and Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts.
I wish we had New York FM here, but thankfully we have the internet existing. Okay, now time for our game picks. We're going to start off with the two. Oh, I sure do. We're going to start off with the two Monday Night Football games tonight. First one, Eagles going into Tampa Bay to play the Tom Brady-less Buccaneers. They now have Baker Mayfield. I will go first. This is an Eagles victory. And if you go to my TikTok very, very soon, I will be giving out my, I don't know if I could say this, my best bet. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLING.
There you go.
It's the under. Eagles win and the game goes under.
Yeah, Eagles win. Next.
Rams versus Bengals. Joe Burrow. I'm not sure if Joe Burrow is playing. Do you care?
Bengals.
I'm going to take the Rams.
All right.
But the Bengals need to win. They're 0-2. There's only been 4 teams that have made the playoffs after starting 0-2 since 1966. How do I know that? I have no idea.
The Giants are one of them.
Lions-Packers. Packers got a big-time come-from-behind victory. Lions got back in the winning column as well last week.
Give me the Lions.
I'm going to go with the Pack at home, but that's going to be a great game to watch. Falcons-Jaguars, 9:30 a.m. in London.
Jaguars.
Jaguars as well. They also need a win after losing to the Texans, which was a terrible loss. Colts coming off a win over the Ravens.
Great win, by the way. I watched that.
Lots of upsets yesterday.
I watched the overtime, by the way.
Yeah.
Great overtime.
It was.
Washed the stain out of my mouth of watching the Jets.
Yes. The Vikings game also was a fun one at the end.
Yep.
Rams versus Colts.
That's a tough one. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, short week. This really is a tough one, but I'm going to go with the Colts here. Minshew Mania has got something going on. This game that I'm about to mention is definitely going to go under as well. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLING, or just watch Ben the Sports Guy on TikTok. Ravens versus Browns.
Wait. What?
I should have said that.
Yeah.
If you have a gambling problem, 1-800, I think it's gambling. 1-800-GAMBLING.
1-800-GAMBLER.
Gambler, yeah. Ravens, what Browns. Who do you have?
Oh, my God. Give me the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Browns at home. The Nick Chubbless Browns. Vikings, Panthers.
Vikings are going to get their first win. They're going to calm everybody down a little bit.
I agree. Bengals, Titans.
It depends on how the Bengals do tonight. So I'm going to go Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Titans. I think Mike Vrabel is going to get those boys ready to roll. And I don't know, if the Bengals lose tonight and then they lose to the Titans, they got some serious, serious issues for the rest of the season. Buccaneers versus the Saints, a classic matchup.
Give me the Buccaneers. Saints are going to come back down to earth a little bit. Give me the Buccaneers.
I'm going to go with the Saints to bounce back after blowing an 18-point lead, 17-point lead in Green Bay. Great matchup here. Probably, yes it is, the best matchup of the week. Dolphins, the 70-point Dolphins, going into Buffalo to face the Josh Allen Bills. I'm going to go with the Dolphins here. I think they're going to make some noise.
The Dolphins are going to be that team that comes down a little bit. They had a great week last week, but give me the Bills.
I think the Dolphins come down, but they do it after Sunday is over. Broncos, Bears, if you watch this game, I'm not going to say anything, okay, but just please don't watch the game.
All right.
Broncos, Commanders, Eagles.
Eagles.
Eagles, Steelers, Texans.
Give me the Steelers.
Texans have a great passing offense, but Mike Tomlin knows how to win games, and he knows how to beat a bad team. I'm taking the Steelers. Raiders, Chargers.
Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. Cardinals, Niners.
Niners.
Niners as well. Patriots, Cowboys.
Give me the Patriots. I think the Cowboys are going to come down to earth here, baby.
Nah,
how
I think
about
the Cowboys?
Them Cowboys?
All right, Chiefs already won without even playing. Seahawks, ooh, Giants, we will get to that next week. That wraps up the Ben and Ben Show. My final thoughts are, I love you all. Everybody have an amazing week. Thank you for listening. Benny, you end the show.
Ben, thank you for listening. I can't end it like Ben Wasserman did.
Peace!
Tim, can you tell me what it was like when the Jets were a winning franchise 12 years ago?
Oh, Michael, grab yourself a glass of milk, and where do I even begin?
It's okay, young one. We're in better times now. Tune in to All Gas No Break every Tuesday on Comm Radio, featuring Joey David, Tim Rogers, and Michael Landis. Strong.